You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As mentioned, today we're speaking to Londiwe Khuzwayo, the founder and CEO of Style by Tutu, which is a company focusing on, amongst other things, fashion design, image consulting, and personal styling there. And we are going to unpack a little bit of this. Gives me great pleasure because this is someone I know quite very well. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Tav. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. And yourself?
I'm great. Happy to talk to you. It's been a while.
I know, right? It's been a while, certainly. How was your day?
Great. You know, the life of an entrepreneur here and there.
Yeah.
But no, a great day. And on your side, it's Women's Month also. So very exciting.
And it's not only Women's Month, it's also my birthday month. So I celebrate with women. So you can imagine the excitement that I have.
Double greatness.
Exactly. No, you know, so I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's been a while, I must say, and happy to talk to you again. And what a way to, reconnect, talking about your business. I think that's an amazing way to reconnect. And it just shows that as pushing, you guys, let's go forward, which is the most important thing, right? It is the most important thing. But I don't think there's anyone who doesn't know you, but maybe there are people who don't know Londi.
I'm not that famous. Contrary to popular belief, I'm not.
I don't want to take out your CV, right? I don't want to take out your CV live on air.
No, please don't.
What's this Londiwe Khuzwayo, man? When people ask you who you are, what do you say?
Oh, man. God's favorite child, I think, more than anything.
That's lovely.
I've just been given a great group of talents, you know, and more than anything, you know, I'm a business perspective, I'm in a mindset more than anything. I'm currently just been accepted to do my MBA in a UK institution, so very excited about that. You know, I've always done about 3 degrees and I've always done them in South Africa in top institutions, and I was like, hey, you know what, if I'm really committing myself to this trip of being an entrepreneur and managing my clients and advising them while in consulting, in image consulting, I need to focus on that. I've got background in project management. I was heading up a project management department for a business accelerator. But my core focus is fashion and image consulting. That is business.
Yeah.
That's what I'm focusing on. And of course, skill set also in project management and business consultancy. In a nutshell, that's me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Let's go back a little bit. Where were you born?
Listen, I am a girl from what they call the Snongawin.
Snongawin, Gomash.
Snongawin, Gomash. You know what I mean? The woman that people will be afraid of, because the minute you say, people are like, no way, you're a snob, you know, and I'm not. but I'm from KZN. Born and bred. That's in Kabayami, we say in Kabayami Hill Corner, you know. So I am from KZN, but I moved here to study in an Adventist high school in Heidelberg, which is called the Davin High School. And obviously after that, I went to varsity at Wits. So I've been more of a Joburger, but originally from KZN.
What do you bring from Snongawin that you think has, shaped and modeled the person that you are? You said you've got a group of talents, which is an amazing thing on its own.
Authenticity, you know. I think, look, I always say that, man, look, I love KZN, but I could never stay there. Because to win, even if you have to look at the market, you know, people that are in business, KZN is a booming economy. Because you can't compare it to Joburg. You know, so I think being in KZN taught me. I mean, I went back also to live in KZN after varsity, and that's actually where my fashion business came from. I realized that, man, this is a hard place to survive. And if you actually want to make it, you need to be very authentic. You need to be able to stand out from the rest. And Durban gives you that. You need to be authentic, you know. And I mean, we're in Africa. And Zulu for me, you know, has the most authenticity and great creativity in and of itself. And I think that's what being, you know, born from there and coming from there and growing up from there has given me today. Yeah. And I think my creative side comes from being, you know, a Zulu from KZN.
Yeah. Okay. That's lovely. That makes sense. Authenticity is what you bring. And I suppose it shows itself in the way you do business.
100%. You have to, you know, they always say that obviously the product matters, but also the person matters.
Yeah.
And how you solve a problem to your clients and let them see a bigger picture or sell something that could be simply a pencil. That a person can see it as this pencil is a pencil that flies to America, you know. So it's very critical when you're in business, because there's never one aspect that retains your clients or helps you sell any product or service. You know, you need to understand people, and you need to be able to understand that segment or that customer segment of yours.
So you spoke about how the idea of starting your business started in KZN when you were back in KZN, realizing that, like you said, it's a very tough market. How long have you been now in business? And most importantly, what do you think sets your business apart from all the other fashion businesses out there?
Yeah, no. Look, I would. It's a very difficult question. I actually was at a market, and a tourist asked me. She was from Spain. She's like, "Oh, you know, you look such a great designer. You must be doing this for years." Like, you know, I think they were comparing me to your hair, your David Chalice, you know. and I was just like, "No, no, actually." And then, like, people came asking me, "Which fashion school did you go to?" And I'm like, "No, no, no. I actually didn't. You know, I didn't go to all these big fashion schools."
Yeah.
Even though I know them and I know people who went there, you know, and I was like, no, no, I'm actually self-taught. So it's always very shocking to people to be like, no, you are a self-taught designer. It's like, how? And I'm like, that's the thing. You need to just work hard and to be smart about it. Because most of these things come from inside of you besides just studying it, you know. So 2015, I started off by having a caps and t-shirts business.
Okay.
Crazy enough, that's what sold the most in my actual business today. you know,
okay.
The time where I thought, no, nyashala, you know, I'm just trying it out, I'm playing. And I found myself careering to different parts of the country, Lesotho, Swaziland, Botswana. I'm like, for a cap, guys, is it that great? You know? And that's when I realized, I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, and a friend of mine approached me and said, look, I want to create a logo for you. That's how good this is.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just a cap and t-shirt, you know? And so it started in 2015, but because, and I was working, you know, and at that time I was still looking to get a better job. You know how the job market is in our country.
Yeah.
So it came from there saying, look, I can't be affording just to be getting small. This small salary as an administrator, what's our way to graduate? You know, how can I make more money? And I was like, fashion, I love fashion. Let me design with the little bit of money that I have. So 2015, the concept started. But the focus of women design and image consulting and styling, I would say it's a good 2 years now.
It's a good 2 years. All right. For those of us who are novices in this space, what is this image designing and what does it mean?
Yeah, so it's image consulting, right? My love for fashion started there before I could even design anything. And it simply was a matter of people saying, hey, Londi, I have the money, but I don't know how to build my brand. I don't know how to build an appearance. And we all know that first impressions count, right? When you walk in, the first thing, because you're not going to talk to everyone, you know, so people will approach you or interact with you based on what they see. You know, are you a person who's smiling? Are you a person who's wearing heels? Are you a person who's got makeup on? Are you, you know, so image consulting is about that, especially if you're a person who's trying to build your brand. So if you're trying to become a Vusi Thembekwayo, you need to sound, you need to dress and act and walk and smell a certain way, you know, for people to know that, okay, when I see Vuthu Thembekwayo, I think investments and business. I think public speaker, I think wealth, I think generational wealth. And, you know, so it comes from that. If you're trying to say, I'm going to be a DJ, you can't be a DJ. And then the next thing you're going there dressed in a three-piece suit.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're standing still and be boring. So image consulting is about that. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm coming from being in varsity. I want to now grow into the workplace. Or I want to go for an event. I'm going to be doing a three-day event. And the theme is this, but I don't have a sense of understanding of what that is. How do I look to attract the right audience, you know? And then I'll help you then create a certain look and create your wardrobe and the image and how you sound and speak, everything put in one. And then your image is built together. When you step in, the right people see you and they feel you.
Oh.
So that's what it's about.
I suppose you couple that with saying, okay, now that you know how you should look, I have a few pieces for you on how you should dress then.
Aha. You get the linkage.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Now you're winning. You're in the value chain of fashion because I'm getting money for helping you look a certain way. I design a look for you. And then I'm like, actually, I can design that look for you. Yes, the piece. To wear it like this, you know.
Makes sense. What drives you as an entrepreneur? Let's talk about now your journey as an entrepreneur. What drives you?
Money.
Ah.
I'm joking.
That's also good. There's nothing wrong there.
I'm not ashamed of it.
Yes.
But look, there's so many things, you know, what drives me more than anything. Definitely money.
Yeah.
But I think what the reason why a lot of people want money is not because, well, look, there are people who want to go buy a Louis Vuitton bag and spend time in Paris and traveling the world. For me, it's not really about that. For me, it's about freedom.
Okay.
You know, I'm a person who can't be boxed. I always tell them. And as I started to leave working in the formal space, I had to, you know, I cannot be boxed. And it's nothing personal. That's who I am.
Yeah.
I had a timeline for myself to learn the industry, to learn entrepreneurship, but now it's time for me to go out and act, you know, and practically so. So for me, the drive of wanting freedom, you know, I think more than anything, waking up, going to an office space and letting people live their dreams through me when I have my own dreams is not something that will please me up until I'm in my 70s or 80s or whenever my last breath will be, you know. So it's that the concept of knowing that I have the potential of building wealth that is outside of me, that I can potentially be a job creator and feed other people. People can, you know, when I have to pay seamstresses that work for me, drives me. But when also a woman feels good and said, I walked in, I was a speaker and I was dressing in designs and I felt so good and I spoke so good, I delivered so good, you know. So that type of feedback, I think, makes me, you know, motivated each and every single day.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, most of the entrepreneurs would argue about the challenges that come with raising funding for them to be able to start their businesses. How was it with you?
Yeah, it's very difficult. But
the
one thing I can definitely say, you know, I think, I've worked in the space of working with a lot of entrepreneurs across the country.
Yeah.
And a lot of misconception is that funding is what matters the most. Oh, we want funding, No, no. The first step is actually clients, you know. So for me, all that I did is that I've been working.
Yeah.
So I get a salary. And when I... And the most important thing is then obviously is then to get the clients. The minute I get the clients, I develop a marketing tool to build my brand and people to be continuously happy and retain their clients. That money made and that profit, you reinvest it back into making more work and more bulk work and more consulting sessions with people. So it's that. For me, honestly, it was a matter of being able to work, using the little that I have to make more. You know, funding is a big need, but you know what? Not all industries easily get funding. You know, if I'm an investor, I would rather invest in an app, an IT app. I would rather invest in energy. I'd rather invest in manufacturing because it's something that's more sustainable. It's more of something solving a problem. Mm. I mean, that's what entrepreneurship is.
Mm.
And fashion, in a lot of people's eyes, comes across as a luxury.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if people can build Coco Chanel, millions and billions, you know, we're so obsessed with the brand, clearly then we still can have money. You know, people I'd rather sell my fridge than to sell my Louis Vuitton bag. You know, so you're selling luxury, you're selling a feeling, you know, a look. It's tangible, but it's actually more about how a person feels more than anything. So supporting or finding a proposal for funding is not easy.
Yeah.
Unless if you're going to sell job creation, especially locally for women in South Africa. Yeah.
Then that unlocks all those opportunities. There are perhaps some aspiring entrepreneurs that are also stuck there. What would be your message to them?
Who are stuck in not being able to find funding.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not, as I said, it's not always about funding. Also, there's a lot of people knocking in different banks. Banks don't want to give entrepreneurs loans.
Yeah.
You know. But look, there's so many other platforms. There's ESG opportunities.
Mm.
Utilize them. I always tell entrepreneurs that if you feel like they're using you for a tick box, use them back.
Yeah.
You know,
Get
that grant, get that funding. Because sometimes all you need is just one machine to help you get production going.
Mm.
And then you're able to sell, you know. But not, there's different doors to knock at. You understand, but the most important thing is what can you start with what you have?
Yeah,
you know, more than anything, run away from continuously taking loans unnecessarily. So, but rather look at people who are just willing to say, "Here's money," or "I'm investing in so and so." Without obviously, you know, selling a big stake of your business.
Mm.
You know, but there's so many platforms for small businesses out here to get funding. You just need to allow yourself to attend the right events and be there for different opportunities that arise for you.
Mm.
But get clients first, because it's all fun and games to get funding and then you purchase something thinking this is the market for you, when that market probably doesn't even exist.
Mm.
So know, assist your clients first and work backwards.
Let's talk about that. Your first client, do you even remember who they are? And
I do.
What was that like?
I actually do.
Yeah.
I actually really do. I remember with the cap business, who was my first client. I remember when I spoke to women, who was my first client. I actually really do remember them very well, because I remember I probably like sacrificed, and this happened twice, all of my money, and I was very broke, and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, and those people paid, and they said, hey, I want to order.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's so much money in my bank, my business account, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's worth it. Okay, so it is possible. And so that actually kept me going. So I actually remember them very well. I always thank them for that.
That's amazing. How do entrepreneurs then who are starting out build that customer base?
You know, you can't build a customer base without segmenting your customers.
Yeah.
That's honestly where I started. So
yeah.
I think for me, when I first started, I was just like, okay, I'm selling caps. I didn't know who exactly, but one type of cap for me I knew, because it had like a Christian design to it, you know. So I was like, definitely my church fellow members, you know, and those were people that bought.
Yeah.
And then the other one had Africa on.
Mm.
And I was like, I have to think about who are the people that, you know, and then I would approach them like, hey, have you seen that I do this? What, really? Then they'll share with their like-minded people, and that's basically how it grew, and I ended up having to Korea far and wide.
Yeah.
But the honest truth, you can't find a client without knowing, first of all, what is your unique selling proposition? What are you trying to achieve? What is your niche? That means you can define that. You are then able to trickle down to say, okay, this is who my client is. For me, for example, I know that I'm looking for women who are not purely into simplicity, but they're not looking for extreme couture. And there's a certain age group also. It's women between the women who are working class between the ages of 25 and 55.
Yeah.
You know, it's very clear. So you need to identify, because you can't be a jack of all trades.
Mm.
So for you to get a client, you need to know who are your clients. And then when you know who they are, you then attend events where those people are.
Mm.
You then approach people where they are. Even when I boost my posts, I stigmatize them to a specific type of woman in the country.
Mm.
You know, So it starts there. Everything, you need to always think carefully. Businesses like that.
Yeah.
You can't just go out there and then just put something without doing research. You need to do research and then go to where those people are and make sure that you're meeting their needs.
You're meeting their needs. What's your typical day like?
Oh, man, look, because I just finished, you know, working a formal job.
Yeah.
It's a bit different. But, you know, obviously, most of the time it will be after work, normal work hours.
Yeah.
And mainly my Sundays. My Sundays is my time to actually work. When people are relaxing at the park and beach, that's when I have a full day.
Yes.
Wake up very early, by four, I'm up, you know. The first thing is obviously to check messages on social media as well as WhatsApp if anyone has placed an order. From there on, I look at a post, see is it doing well. If not, what can we re-strategize? Contact my marketing/PR person. We assess, you know, those impressions of why is this post not doing well? Why are we not reaching the right people? Or is it the design that's not great? You know, there on, I would then go fabric shopping. You know, after I've looked at my sketch, go fabric shopping. After fabric shopping, I have a meeting with my Pinterestes, share the new designs, sketch down everything further, label it, and then, you know, design together the patterns, and then we then allow them then to continue with the work. You know, so that's basically, again, in a nutshell, get home, have to think of more creativity, you know, etc. Branding, if I need to touch base on that, you know,
That's interesting. That's amazing. And then how has that I suppose affected you in terms of your friends, family, and everyone else? I'm sure there's a shift now in how you do things. And like you said, when people are at the beach, you are very busy. That affects your personal life, I'm sure.
No, I mean, look, I think any person would know that entrepreneurship is very lonely. You know, at least for me, I'm still doing business of things that I enjoy.
It doesn't feel like I'm working in most
cases, unlike a normal you know, job where you're going to an office. But obviously I don't have time for my loved ones as much. You know, for me, honestly speaking, I have to plan. You know, I need to plan lunch. planning lunch 2 months in advance, like, okay, sorry, I won't be available because I've got this meeting. Sorry, I'm not available because I need to go sell this set. Sorry, I'm not available because I need to go sort out these orders, you know? Or I'm not available because I need to go and promote the brand or be at a market. A market takes your whole Sunday. Literally, you need to be there from 7:30 to finish at like 5:00. You know, Sunday is over and you come back. You leave whilst it's still dark. You come back, it's dark, you know? And you're just fatigued. So it's you don't spend a lot of time. I literally have to plan relaxation time, and I have to plan time, even phone calls. Like, you'll never get me spending hours and hours on a call. Like, it's rare because I don't have time for it, you know. So you do need that. But, I mean, look, I always encourage any entrepreneur that balance is needed, and it is critical and it is important. Because end of the day, you can't live to work. You need to live to live, you know? It's for God, especially with loved ones, and you need to take care of them and be there for them.
You need to be there for them. Okay. Talking about, you're in a space that requires you to come up with new ideas. You mentioned earlier on that almost before the end of the day, you need to think about new ideas. How do you change this and that? How does that come about? Some people say they look at the roof the whole night and things happen. Some dream about it and new ideas come through. What's the case with you?
Listen, Tabs, it is not a joke. I know, like, you know, we think people are joking. Until I actually, as I said, like 2 years ago, that's why I always pinpoint when I say, when did I start the business? Because ideas came mainly then. Like, that's when it became a business, even like a registered company, you know. It literally, for me, is when I am sleeping. It's so strange. It's like, you know, people have revelations. I literally would be sleeping, and then from nowhere, I'm like not fully sleeping, and then I see a design or I see a new service offering that I should add, you know. And then I literally wake up and then I open my phone. I go to the, I've got a notepad section of ideas when it comes to my business. And I just jot that down, and then only can I fully sleep, you know. That's one. Number two, as much as you don't get time to relax, I always have to plan relaxation.
Mm.
So I always say people that are creative need get more ideas when they're relaxing.
Mm.
So if I'm always speeding, I'm not able to think, because creativity, the juices flow when you're still, you know. So I spend a lot of time indoors, a lot of time alone when I can, and I just sit like still.
Mm.
And when I'm still and it's quiet, God gives me ideas, and that's when I things come, and I'm like, oh my, wow, I never thought about that. Okay, and then I just jot down some things I may not do at that time, but months later or a year later, I'm like, ah, this came from that time when I had that revelation.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So relaxation when I'm sleeping and I'm quiet and I'm still. If not, I need to spend time on a holiday or in nature, and then that's when I become. My creative juices come out.
Yeah. All right. What has been your experience? I'm sure when you started or when you went onto this journey, you had, like you said, seven zeros, you know, in the bank account, and you could imagine them and you saw them. But when you are now doing it in reality, right? And I'm just using that as an example. But I'm sure you had there's reality and expectations. There's always differences there when you're on the ground. Because some people tell you, look, the business looks good on paper. You've got your forecast, five-year forecast. They look good. Income and revenue, these numbers, so when you put them there, it's a financial model, makes sense, but on the ground it's a pretty different a ball game. What has that been like for you as well?
Sure, there's a good part and a bad, right? For me, because first of all, at first I delayed getting into this industry because I thought it's so saturated.
Yes.
I mean, every woman is creating a brand, every guy is creating a brand. Why would I win? You know. But it's so strange that even when you are, I mean, I know because I've got a business degree. I know because I've worked with businesses and that every single time when you have a business, you need to solve a problem, right? So, yes, putting in solar, you're solving a problem of load shedding, you know?
Yeah.
But then when you look at fashion, I'm like, every day it's like, how am I actually solving the problem, you know?
Yeah,
and so I just thought, let me not do it. That's how I today started in the system altogether.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, why would people pay for me to sell them? Like, why would people pay for me to change their images or to, you know, direct them? But you know, oh my goodness, yeah, okay, it actually is a feasible thing because people actually want it. Literally, you and I can be selling same thing. You know, Chicken Licken, KFC.
Yeah,
I'm sure when Chicken Licken came, I think Chicken Licken obviously came after, right?
Yeah.
KFC had a bigger brand. They thought they wouldn't make it.
Mm.
You know, there's your Hungry Lions and all of that. But those companies remain there because people may have different choices, you know. And they might say that today I want actually what they do is designing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always enough.
Mm.
We all can have different, you know, services that are similar, but then it's the niche or it's something about me, how Nandiwe is, that makes me stand apart. So that's one, you know. And then number two, I got in there thinking, people love my style. I know that so and so. And I was expecting that everyone close to me would be supporting my brand. Like, you know, and then you realize when you look at actually where your money comes from, I'm like, actually, it's more people I never thought or strangers, you know? And it was that I'm like, I'm talented, it will definitely sell. And there's like so much that you need to learn. Like, you know that, okay, in winter, you won't sell much because people don't want winter designs because it's just 2 months of the year, you know? So if you make lots of designs, run it a lot, you know? So it's all those small things, you know? I thought it's just clothes. Designing is simple, you know, image consulting is simple, but you have to deal with women. Men can simply say women are complicated. Then people talk about their wives. My wife is complicated. No, it's not a joke. Even for me, having a meeting with a woman is complicated, you know? and you take it lightly about, okay, no, you want a nice dress. Okay, you think that's it. But you actually need to deal with their self-esteem.
Yeah.
Like women out there are broken. No, but I'm fat. No, but I've got stretch marks. And that's time be like, no, you're fine. And you have to now spend time convincing a woman that they're worthy and you know, fabrics. I thought, oh, no, fabrics is fine. Until I decided to take a fashion course, I was like, wow. But it's a lot. There's fluctuations and patterns, and there's all these small things. And if you fail to pay attention to detail, your business, your image can go down as a company. Yeah.
Sure.
So I would definitely say that.
Yeah. What has been your most satisfying moment?
Wow. I would definitely say a woman saying to me, look, a video of themselves speaking somewhere, wearing my outfit, or I wore this, and they gave me feedback. People said I looked good.
Yeah.
I feel so confident, you know, because I literally have that talent of changing a person. Besides, if I'm selling an outfit, if I'm going to change your whole image, you know, and let's say you thought you were not beautiful, I'll make you feel beautiful again.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the ability of a person who had given up on how they look, like, oh no, I've gained weight, and they don't care about themselves, and then after I've had an encounter with them for years on end after that, they just thought, I'm now the hottest thing since sliced bread, you know? So but it's definitely been that. And I think another thing for me was selling out, like selling out the collection. You know, the first time I sold out the collection, you know, I went back to the fabric store and they're like, no, you're joking. I'm like, guys, it's gone. I need more fabric, you know? And we ended up now having to, like, you know, ship in fabric just for me because they know that I'll keep coming and finishing a roll, and finishing a roll. So for me, that's definitely, that was very beautiful for me. Women feeling good and selling out the things that I design and people actually loving them, you know, and giving feedback. Yeah.
Where are we going the short to medium term?
Where are we going? Obviously, short to medium term, I mean, look, I started off by just simply designing and now going into image consulting, which is a very different and highly professional space in and of itself because I could literally be an image consultant for Oprah Winfrey, you know, tomorrow. And I am her person. You know, you get PR, but then you get also image consulting. It's not the same thing. People might confuse it. It's two different things, you know. There's big celebrities who literally on the red carpet, you know, are advised by one person on how they should look like. And you build a brand and take their career higher. So that's basically what image consulting is for me. More than anything, you know, featuring in magazines and on radio slots, things that are coming up for me in terms of a feature on how people should dress for specific events or specific seasons and all of that. So definitely those two things. And I think more than anything is also, you know, growing in wardrobe management for productions, you know, or events. Let's say you've got joy celebration, you are the one designing all those outfits. Who are generations, they have a person managing their wardrobe, you know, I would then be responsible for that look. And obviously when you do that, you also partner with other designers out there to get their brand out. You know, so that's my short-term goals. That's what I'm focusing a lot on, beyond designing than anything. And then obviously long-term is going into stores, having my own store internationally. Besides e-commerce, obviously it's cheaper. That's what we're using at the moment, online store. But there's some people that believe, you know, when I go to markets and I have meetings with women, you do hear people talking about, we're still skeptical, you know, about that. We want to feel and touch and see. So people always ask me when I do things like, okay, where's your store? And I'm like, no, I'm online. They're like, why? But we want to come there every Sunday, for example. You know, so I'd love to have my store and give people the opportunity of having both. You know, women love to see and feel things, you know, picture themselves in this more than anything. So that's definitely that. And just, you know, getting into a fashion magazine, having a fashion magazine that then will incorporate all the elements of the value chain of fashion that I am focusing on. So that's definitely my long-term goal.
What would you do differently?
Oh, this is always the most difficult question because it's home, right? It's actually, it's painful. I think more than anything, I'll use my money wisely.
Okay.
You know, I think, you know, it's only up until maybe this year. I'll be so excited that I sold so many outfits and I made, like, you know, 5,000 rand profit, and then I'm like, I'm eating it. You know?
All of it.
You know, so then that slows down the business cash flow and growth overall. And I realized that I am actually been the problem more than anything, you know. Be more strategic also in making bulk. So that you can have a certain price range, be competitive, And also reduce time is very important in this type of business. We take it lightly, but, you know, traveling to a fabric store 10 times a month, that's petrol.
Yeah.
That's your time.
Yeah.
You know, so not, I wasn't working smarter. I was working harder and still making less money.
Yeah.
So being able to re-strategize a solution is very important, and further segmenting my customers, you know. And it's okay, you know, at first I wanted to agree, no, yes, I can make it for you. Now I'm able to be like, no, this is what I specialize in and I can't assist you. And at first I just wanted the money, I wanted the name, I wanted this and this. So definitely, but for me, it's definitely saving money, reinvesting into my company, all the money that I make, and just be smart about business. Yeah, definitely that.
What would be your final thoughts to other aspiring entrepreneurs as we wrap this one up?
As we wrap this one up, Ted, man, thought. It's such a cliche line, but it worked for me. It worked for so many people around me. It worked for people that I have to speak to in business consulting, because we always have every excuse to not do something as people.
Yeah.
Every excuse. I can't. Stop. And when you stop, allow the money to come. It will come. Let the drive, the passion, the resilience go ahead first. The money will come eventually. It might not be in a year. It might not be in a day. Sometimes it might only take a month, but you're expecting 10 years. You know, opportunity will arise for itself. You know, when people sit there, they'll say, "Tapelu, Tapelu, oh, the guy from radio." You know, that it just needs to be that. It's important so that when people think about you, they think about your business and what the purpose is and what do you live for. You know, and it's important also to know that if you have a business idea and it comes from God and you know it comes from God, He will sustain you. He gave you the idea, He will give you the client. You know.
Yeah.
And then I think last but not least, I'd want to just say, have a vision and have the guts, man. Have the guts to do it and go for it. It may not, it may not seem like it's possible, but it is. And be consistent in all that you dream about. And act on it. Don't dream, but also act.
But act as well. How can people follow you? Where do I follow you if they're interested in buying and having had this interview as well?
Perfect, perfect. So you guys can all contact me. First of all, you can follow my page. It is Style by Tutu on Instagram. That's the most famous one. We're currently restructuring our website.
Yeah.
So I won't give you that one, but it is www.stylebytutu. And then obviously you can also set an appointment with me on info@stylebytutu.com. Am I right? And then you can also send me a WhatsApp to order anything, to schedule a session on 072-701-2921.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Really appreciate your time and all the best. And next time we talk to you, we'll be taking our call from Milan or Paris or somewhere there. You know, doing your thing there.
I love it.
Exactly. That's where it's going. Thank you so much and have a good one, eh?
All right, then. Cheers, then. Bye.
Cheers, bye. That was Ulondi Vekuzwa. You're talking to us this evening about her business and what she does. So there you go. You can follow her, Style by Tutu, on our social media platforms.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.